Thank you for listening to Lead, Empower, Grow, a podcast featuring entrepreneurs who lead productive teams, empower their communities, and grow successful businesses of their own. Except today's a special episode. April is Financial Literacy Month, and First Financial Security takes that very seriously. Our Real Secrets of Money program all month is putting out blog posts on tools and resources of financial education, and I wanted to join in for the podcast because we have so many great clips of our agents talking about financial literacy and the great work they do, so why not gather it together in one place? Financial education courses are rarely taught in American schools, yet finance and personal money management affects nearly everybody, regardless of race, class, or gender. Regardless of what job you have, of how much or little money you make, knowing how to manage your money will make your life easier, make your family's life easier. It's important for everyone out there to know how to budget, what credit is, how to take out a loan, how interest and APR might affect those loans. And that's just the foundation. You can build off that for investing and entrepreneurship, just like everyone we interview for the podcast. But you have to have your foundation right first, which is why Real Secrets of Money and First Financial Security and Lead, Empower, Grow want to emphasize the importance of Financial Literacy Month. And if you aren't convinced yet, here's a little bit from the agents we featured on the show, starting with Vicky Deep, Julie Lohr, Yvonne Nguyen, Tuan Bui, and ending with a long segment from the FFS Gives Back Visionary of the Year for 2023, Yua Kang, who knows a lot about financial psychology, teaches financial literacy in schools as part of the Saving Angels program. So, happy Financial Literacy Month. Here we go.
As kids, like, we weren't taught financial literacy. Why not have financial literacy class?
I know, yeah.
Right? Some sort of exposure. Talk about credit. Talk about how to manage your credit card. Talk about budgeting. Just having good money management skills. It just felt like we weren't taught that. My family, my parents didn't teach me that. I had to learn everything on my own.
Yeah, it's almost maddening that we don't have that yet in schools because we've had that conversation for a long time and it still isn't there. But it is true. You hear, when are we ever going to use this? You hear that from a student about chemistry. And yet financial literacy, you could answer that with every single day.
Definitely. I mean, at least expose us at younger years, like in elementary school, like sixth grade. And then again, another one in middle school. And then the last 2 years of high school. That would be so life-changing.
It'd be nice.
Right? Because kids, when they hit 18, oh man, they're ready. They're driving, credit card, you know, they get offered credit cards.
And this is what money is?
Right, the APR, like, you know, all that stuff, 20-something percent. There's a reason for that. If they have some sort of financial literacy knowledge or background, they'll be like, okay, I know, I understand.
Be very careful.
You use it in the right way, right? Because you need to build your credit and stuff. But a lot of kids, they don't know. So I just feel like the minute they hit 18, 19, that's it. The credit score is terrible because they don't understand. And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, I don't have money. Okay, now I don't even want to talk about life insurance. Come on, you know, retirement. I mean, more than 40% of Americans do not have a penny for retirement. That's terrible. Think about it. That is scary. And a lot of times when I talk to clients, I ask them, when do you want to retire? Do you ever want to retire? Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the typical age is usually 65. Great, great. Do you have any plans to make that dream come true? No, I don't. I don't have anything. That client is like age 50. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to live that dream if you don't have a plan in place. So a lot of times I try to have real talk to my clients. Some might take it well and some may not because they themselves cannot even have that conversation with their spouse or themselves. They don't want to talk about finances, but that's something that's so important that we all should at a very young age.
Yeah, it can only get better if you address it.
Right. Yeah. It shouldn't be something so terrifying.
I know. The unknown disease is the one that kills you.
That's like the most important thing.
I know. Yeah.
You could be a doctor. You could be anything. You could be making a whole lot of money, but if you don't know how to manage your finances, you're going to be broke all the time.
And education really plays a big role of that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these are not taught in college.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I've only have one course. That was an elective course that yeah. I took on money management. And it was just, you know, pretty simple and pretty general information. But a lot of these information were not taught in school. But I'm glad that, you know, throughout my 7 to 8 years here in First Financial Security, I was able to advance all of that knowledge through the experience and the knowledge that I was able to gather from here.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. It's why it's so crazy, because we don't have it in high school, which we should have financial literacy things in high school, but then we don't even have it in college, which is the higher education, which and it's why First Financial Security and every one of our agents is all about education for them. It's forefronted. It's because it's kind of, we're like traveling teachers of finance.
Right. Recently, I have a chance to talk to a lot of younger generation, 21, 20 years old, or the oldest is 25 years old.
Yeah.
Because when I was that young, I never thinking of saving or building for my retirement. I just know that I have to go to work and make house payments and food and the table.
Yeah.
Never thinking of saving that early.
I know some agents trying to work to get that younger generation. It's so hard. And I was the same way, to think of the future when you're just that young before your knees start hurting. You know, you feel invincible. And yet you're also just trying to get food on the table. You're also just being like, okay, how am I an adult? How do I buy groceries?
But because our coaches never talk about financial worth with the children. So the kids don't know how difficult that the parents have to work to have food at the table, to save up for their college, to do this and do that for the family.
I had this one client, she saw me on TikTok and she reached out to me. She's in her 40s, her and her husband, they have three kids, three beautiful kids. Mm-hmm. They have nothing saved up. At the time, they were relying on one income.
Common story, yeah.
So you know the kind of risk that comes with. Gosh, you know, if something happens to the primary wage earner, within a month's time, the family's going to face major financial catastrophe. As some people say 6 months, some people say 8 months, but no way. Like 70% of America are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, yeah.
If that paycheck cuts off, how can you say that it's going to take 6 months for the family to feel financial impact? It's going to immediately, within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I feel like the 6 months is like one of those averages things, but really it is like it's 1 month or less. You're going to feel it right away, most people.
Yeah, because you're averaging the wealthy people who do have the excess funds.
Exactly.
And that kind of like overweighs like everybody else, 70% of America living paycheck to paycheck, struggling every single day.
Yeah, and like you said, the financial impact, that weight is more than just months. That's years and generations it can ring out, yeah.
Imagine right now, 70% of America is living paycheck to paycheck again. You know, I've already said that three times now in this podcast, but...
Because it's scary.
But people need to understand that. What does that mean? Like, you have to have the money to survive.
It's a good point. And it is, you say it three times, but that's because it is important to remember. I don't know, yeah.
So when I was in school, I was studying psychology. Mm-hmm. And then there was a curriculum in the curriculums that we were building about financial psychology. Yeah. And it really struck a chord. It just resonated so much with me because it was already something that I loved. And now I was able to marry my business with my passion.
Yeah.
And so I love financial education, but I would say that my heart is with financial psychology. Yeah. That's what I teach the most on. And I always start my students all off with that. And I feel like that is, you know, there are a lot of budgeting and savings and financial education courses out there and organizations out there, but the missing component is the financial psychology piece.
Yeah.
You can give them all of the tools and resources and articles and research. But if their mind isn't prepped to receive that, and if they don't know where their limiting beliefs start at, it's hard to start saving and to want to budget and to want to continue. So with me, I really found that financial psychology was the piece that we all have to start off with before we threw the practical techniques at our students. And so it just kind of started from there. Yeah.
It's like the basis of everything. Like psychology, it is the basis of all behavior. And then
but
finances, it's not talked about. You're right. And it is so tied to that in a way that's like, not to bring, it's almost like not fully equal to addiction, but like addict behavior or things like where it's like you get a dopamine spike when you buy something, you get a little thrill. And sometimes we use it to, if there's retail therapy and we use it to like, overcome sadness or, you know, like kind of avoid problems, or like it's of course tied to the brain. And if you Absolutely. Can recognize that and separate it, yeah, then.
Well, you really hit the nail on the head. I think that's something that we talk about a lot in my financial psychology courses, is that, you know, we're human. We are, if anything, we are more emotional spenders than mm-hmm. anything, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yeah. if we don't have a good relationship with money, it doesn't matter how much or how little it is. We don't have that peace of mind that mm-hmm. comes with having wealth or having money.
Yeah.
And financial psychology really helps students build a strong, you know, a strong emotional capacity and psychological capacity to handle money before we go into, you know, the budgeting and the savings.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the reasons why I really resonated with the financial education initiative that FFS have is because, so I grew up poor too. Mm-hmm. My parents, you know, they are refugees from Thailand, and I was born in Thailand, and then we came to the United States. So we grew up poor. And, you know, given the little resources that we had, I mean, I had a really good childhood, but as you're growing up, you start feeling the social pressures yeah. and you start realizing that, oh, there are social classes and there are people who have more than others. Mm-hmm. And so I've had my experiences from that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started, you know, building the curriculums for financial psychology and understanding the effects of that and what money can do for you, I started healing a lot of my own financial traumas from childhood, and I started yeah. recognizing it.
Yeah, it's nice that you're actually in schools doing it, because that's often a statistic I cite, or things that, you know, a pain point in America is the financial literacy and education doesn't start right. soon enough, you know, with, and right. myself included. Yeah, I had a similar kind of, or I remember being in the middle of the country on a farm and like, you know, like thinking that the, you know, richest neighbor, like small town person, like, oh, that's wealth. And then I came to Atlanta yeah. and I was like, oh my God, I had no idea how rich
right.
got. Like, that was nothing. Did we have anything? Even though yeah. like, yeah, I was happy. But yeah. But do you yeah. have a part of your curriculum that is like often most surprising to people? You mentioned the feedback, but like, are kids mm-hmm. often like, is there a favorite fact you like to mention, or like that people gasp at, or one that opened your eyes or anything, or what's your yeah. like favorite part of the psychology curriculum, I guess?
So one of the topics that I bring up a lot, and I feel like I love this one, but also my students, you know, they really like it too, is mm-hmm. How we identify their relationship with money is we use money scripting. And this is something that was coined by a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And there are four major money scripts that we use. And I'll use the first example. The first example is, you know, so money scripts are just things that we hear, whether we're saying it subconsciously or we're saying it verbally out loud about money and our experiences with money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first yeah. money script is money avoidance. And we know that we have money avoidance when we start using, and I've used this too, and I've heard this many times growing up, you know, when we use scripts like, you know, money is evil, right? Yeah. That's a common one. Mm-hmm. Or we would say things like, you know, wealthy people are greedy, right? Mm-hmm. So these yeah. are scripts, you know, that we identify. And usually we hear this a lot. And when we know what the student, the scripts that they're using or the scripts that they're holding on to,
mm-hmm.
it gives us just a starting point of, hey, where did you get this belief from? Is it your own? Is it from your own personal experiences? Or is it passed down from your parents or from your, you know, from your peers?
Yeah.
And so I really love talking about the money scripts, because yeah. when I bring it up, people are like, oh my goodness, I'm not even aware that I have been saying that, or that, you know, it just sounds so normal in our head.
Yeah.
But when we're able to label it and we're able to say, well, you know, when if you're believing this, then it usually means this. Mm-hmm. People are just really astonished by the thoughts that they have in their mind about money.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, assumptions that we already have and biases. Mm-hmm. And I like that that's the first one. Even you taught even me that, yeah, I like it's the first one, because it's your brain, it makes you dismiss it immediately, which can, you know, like, it protects yourself, like, subconsciously, I guess, but like, ends up hurting, because part of managing money is looking it directly in the eye and knowing your numbers and budgeting.
Exactly.
And if you think it's evil or engaging with it is bad or can, you know, contaminate you, then you're never going to be able to do that. And your right. bank account could go all over the place.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I find that a lot of people who grew up in poverty or who've had experiences of poverty, they tend to use that money script a lot because it's almost like a self-soothing method. Like, you know what? Yeah. I don't have enough money, so I'm going to keep telling myself that it's evil to justify why I shouldn't have more, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the truth is that you can't be looking for opportunity and at the same time denying what opportunity can give you as well. So it can go to hurt you in the long run.
Yeah, that's true. I love that phrasing of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere that you have found, like, your financial classes are such a great resource, but is there any trusted source other than your like college curriculum, or do you have find yourself like, oh, I always go to this website, it has like resources? Because I've blogged about financial literacy mm-hmm. resources, and there's a lot, but you know, and they're not, none of them are like terrible, maybe some barely any, but I wondered if you were like, oh, I always go to this website, or, you know?
Yeah, so I am a member. I'm a member of the Financial Therapist Association. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness, I go to that website a lot mm-hmm. because they have journals, like they have scientific journals and researches done on poverty, done on financial psychology. Mm-hmm. There are real clinicians and therapists who work with clients and families in terms of their finances. Mm-hmm. And they write these really good scientific research, you know. And so I find that a lot of the information that I put on my curriculums, it does come from the journals that I have access to.
Awesome.
And then, of course, books. I mean, one of my favorite books is called Happy Money by Ken Honda. Mm-hmm. It's a very different perspective of how he, you know, approaches that relationship to money. But I always look for new books that I can read that I can just kind of take little snippets from and add to my curriculums.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have the basic of our curriculums, which is provided through the National Council of Financial Therapy, or what is it? National Financial Therapy Council. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that gives us a foundation. But I would say a lot of, you know, every year my curriculum is changing because as I'm finding new research and new information, I'm updating it to make sure that I'm giving the students the best that I can find.
Yeah.
But my biggest fear now is, have I taught my children enough so that when I pass on this wealth to them, that they can sustain it and that they can repeat what I did, right? That's mm-hmm. my biggest fear now is, mm-hmm. okay, I have to give them the knowledge. It's just like a vicious cycle. Like if you can't stop yourself and you can't identify where the problem is, you can just live your whole life just being avoidance of money. And mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, you can't just ignore the power. You have to recognize the power that money has. Right. And once you see the power, you can use it responsibly. You can use it for yourself and, you know, mm-hmm. like everything, like any power, responsibility. You had so many other great things to say that episode. So really go check out that in our back catalog. Also check out Vicky, Julie, Yvonne, and Tuan, and I'd like to thank them again for being on the podcast. To hear their episodes and all other episodes of Lead Empower Grow, visit our feed, wherever you get your podcasts, or at firstfinancialsecurity.com, where we've also posted blogs filled with tools and resources for financial education. And all this Financial Literacy Month content is thanks to Real Secrets of Money, our financial literacy program. For new episodes of Lead Empower Grow, remember to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And we look forward to bringing you more stories that inspire you to lead, empower, and grow.